From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today, our weekly conversation with BlackAgendaReport.com columnist Margaret Kimberly about her column this week, Obama Gets Paid.
Last week, there was an announcement that the former president was going to do what former presidents always do and start making big money. He will be paid $400,000 to speak at Cantor Fitzgerald, an investment bank here in New York. And there was immediate reaction as soon as the announcement was made, mostly initially from Obama admirers who were shocked to find that he was just like everybody else. And I thought it was interesting that the marketing from his 2008 campaign was so effective and that people really believed in hope and change and really thought he was going to be different and really thought he represented their interests. The reality is that no one's allowed to get that job who does not have a commitment to helping out finance capital in every way possible. So the banks got bailed out. Nobody was prosecuted. None of the bankers who committed these crimes that ruined millions of people's lives. So he helped out Wall Street. He raised more money from Wall Street than any other presidential candidate in history. So he, and they don't do that for nothing, obviously. Yeah, they expect right. to get something in return. They get access. They get what they want. And this is a phenomenon true not just in the United States but around the world. Former prime ministers and presidents of other countries do the same thing. As soon as they get out of office, they start helping out the 1%, the lords of capital, ruling class, call them what you will. That is their job. That's why they get the job. And so that's was my initial shock. I was shocked at the shock, if that makes any sense to you.
Well, if you look at it from the point of view of a prosecutor, for example, okay, so you got more money from me than anybody in history. And by the way, I got more money from you than anybody in history. In other words, I got more bailout money from you than anyone has ever gotten of any money from anybody in history, and you got more campaign money from me than anybody mm-hmm. in history. Does it look like there's a quid pro quo there?
Sure. I mean, it's pretty obvious to me, but I think this and the other thing, after people were shocked and there were some who criticized Obama, despite their naivete, I think they were correct to do so. Actually, they should have been criticizing him while he was president. It's a little bit late to start lecturing him about ethics. Yeah. But then people began to defend him. And some of it was pretty standard. Well, they all do that. What do you expect? Then others were said, the white presidents were on the take, so you can't tell the first black president he can't be on the take,
yeah,
too.
Right.
And,
it's racist.
So it was an admission of guilt about our system instead of having a discussion about our system.
Yeah, right.
And the fact that it's so obvious that despite all our talk of democracy, we don't run the country. They run the country. They run the worldwide system. And the rest of us are just cogs in their machine. And this was an opportunity to talk about that instead of, sham arguments about it's okay for him to be on the take because George W. Bush was,
yeah, right.
and Bill Clinton was.
And is, I mean, look, it's another teachable moment on the question of you can always tell a politician is right when they accuse another politician of being a crook, because they're almost always right when they do.
yes, that's true. It is true. And, if you look just around the world, it's, as I was saying, and, if you look at the UK, Tony Blair, it's the same thing. New Labour was like, the Democrats moving to the right, same right. phenomenon. And he hasn't been prime minister for a while now. And he's still talking about undoing Brexit. So right. Because Brexit is inconveniencing finance capital. That's the whole purpose of the EU and the trade deals, is to make it easy to move capital around. So he's still working for them. He's gotten very rich, by the way. So it's unfortunate that people didn't take this, not enough people took this opportunity to look at and talk about the fact that we're not in a democracy, that we live in this kleptocracy. And you know, Hillary Clinton, I mean, sort of Donald Trump was raised less money than Hillary Clinton, but in the end, he was bailed out by a billionaire, this guy Mercer. So it's the same thing that keeps going on, but I think we need to talk about the system more and not try to defend what's not defensible.
Yeah, to go back to what you said at the beginning here, which is about how people suddenly, you know, snapped out of some kind of a dream that Obama would take this, that they were still believing what they were told about him being, you know, the anti-Wall Street crusader, the champion of the people or whatever, hope and change back in 2009. They didn't notice that he wasn't doing that for the entire 8 years he was president. A lot of those people, they only noticed it when they heard that he'd got $400,000, like an extra paycheck, basically, from doing this little talk here, you know, in year nine.
Yes, exactly. I believe that is the presidential salary. It's about $400,000.
Yeah, $440,000 or something.
So, yes, you're right. You got a year's salary bonus. But that's the other point, too, that people were so naive. It's part of the problem.
A famous man once used the term bamboozled.
yes. And we're told that the Democrats are our only choice. The Republicans are so terrible. We have to cling to the Democrats, despite the fact that they fail us. Now they can't even win elections anymore. We can't criticize them ever. So we have to take whatever they offer because the Republicans are so bad. Now, I'm not going to defend the Republicans, but this idea that we can't ever question, demand, make an observation even about the Democrats is just ludicrous. And it's led us to the point where we have Republican control of government in this country. So that attitude tells us, well, you can't question anything. So no matter how bad they are, you have to defend them. So Obama he was marketed as this change agent. It was amazing when you think about it, his 2008 campaign. And I sort of have mixed feelings. I don't want to criticize people because they want to be hopeful and because they want to feel positive. But you can't say that up is down or black is white. This was very obviously an administration that was pro-Wall Street. But that whole attitude that you have to take the Democrats no matter what, people just put on blinders and don't see because they don't want to see that the system is as crooked as it is, and that he signed on to Bush's tax cuts for the rich. I mean, they claimed it was to save Social Security from the Republicans. You know how they do this. Right. It's like professional wrestling tag team.
Yeah, right.
Where they work together and, with a wink and a nudge, end up doing the same thing. So rich people kept their tax cuts. Wall Street kept getting bailed out. So all of these things that people who think themselves to be very progressive that they don't like keep signing on to. So while Obama was president, all of this was kept going on. But then people, claim to be shocked that he does what you would expect him to do. And I guess people don't want to believe that our system is as bad as it is, and that this the best we can get out of it are people on the take who market themselves as being different when they're not.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, for example, when we can see the Barack and Michelle Obama Foundation,
Oh my God!
You know, and I guess you know, looking at what the Clinton Foundation has done, maybe, and looking at the particular interest that the Obama administration showed in Africa, and the particular job that they did there, perhaps they can work for African sovereignty and independence in the Orwellian way that they did as the president.
Yeah, that'll happen. as you know, well, I think the only difference between Clinton and Obama is Obama would be, I think, a little more subtle about it. I mean, the Clintons were very open. This Clinton Foundation was an influence peddling slush fund.
Right.
And it helped them get rich, and they did deals all over the world. And I find it interesting that while, Trump is criticized for non-existent business deals in Russia, Bill Clinton actually carried one out. He got paid $500,000 to give a speech in Moscow. I'm convinced he got more money than that, in fact. But to do this deal, which gave Russia control over a big portion of the world's uranium.
No.
And for all this talk about Russia being evil, it wasn't, Putin hates Hillary. He didn't hate her so much that he turned down that deal with her husband. So, but that's been disappeared down the memory hole. So, and I find it funny that people gave all this money to this foundation, assuming that Hillary would be president, only for her to lose. But she did a lot for them as Secretary of State. That's why she had to keep a separate email server and try to hide it. But, I Obama will have a little more panache. I don't think he'll be so obvious about it as the Clintons are. But it's already begun as presidential libraries and the big donors. And he's been vacationing with some media mogul or whatever. But now his vacation's over and he's back doing his thing, telling us, trying to make us believe that we're not observing what we really see in the world. Glenn Ford did a great piece about him coming back, telling us lies about fake news, and it's all part of an effort to keep us all in line and believe that the system isn't doing what we can tell it's doing. And also, as others have pointed out, he's also sending a message to Wall Street about the Democratic Party. He is telling them not to worry. We're going to handle that Bernie Sanders faction. We're not going to have even a tiny bit of reform. I mean, if you look at what he's already done, Keith Ellison was poised to become chair of the DNC, and he's not as progressive as advertised either. But even he was too much, and Obama recruits Tom Perez to be the chair of the DNC, and they scuttled Ellison's candidacy. So he's letting them know that, even that little bit of reform is going to be too much. And don't worry, I got this. I'm going to, we're going to keep squashing them. So you don't have to worry about any Democrats trying to change anything. I'm not going to let that happen. So it's also some assurance to Wall Street, too.
No, Cantor Fitzgerald, by the way, the ones that wrote this particular check for $400,000. Mm-hmm. You point out supported Jeb Bush in the 2016 mm-hmm. Republican campaign and McCain in 2008 against Obama. But they wrote the check to Obama because they figured, what the hell? He's just as good as the others. And he took it, essentially sending a message. Yeah, exactly. I'm exactly the same as Jeb Bush and John McCain.
Yeah, they, and when it, when push comes to shove, they may prefer a Republican, but they, Democrats will do their bidding also. So
we all work for the same guys.
They all work for the same people. And and Obama was a perfect person for them. So they're not going to stand on ceremony. And Lutnick is his name, the chairman of Cantor Fitzgerald. So he may have given money in the past to Republicans, but he's no fool. Obama is the best advertisement they have. So, of course, they'll pay. I mean, this isn't going to be his last payday either. So be prepared for more. And so, yes, ultimately, they do deals with all of them. And so a Republican big donor can turn around and write a big check to Obama, and he won't be the last one.
Yep. Yeah. Actually, that particular character, Howard Lutnick, was someone who escaped death on September 11th when most of his staff bought the farm at the World Trade Center. And the story is supposedly it's because he took his kid to his first day of kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being
yeah,
at work.
That was when I first heard of Cantor Fitzgerald, that they lost so many people that day.
658 out of 960 employees, or more than two-thirds, or almost two-thirds of the workforce.
Yeah, yeah. He was, Lutnick was in the news for a good time after that. But yes, that's what they became known for in the press and to the general public. But they do what they do. They're investment bankers. That means they don't help us. And you know, all of the Cantor Fitzgeralds around the world have caused a lot of suffering. The city, as I pointed out, the city of Detroit was pushed into bankruptcy by the banks. They finally succumbed to one of those convoluted deals, and it was always on the edge. Detroit had been hanging on the edge for a long time, and finally, this derivative scheme pushed them over. But the banks got paid first, and the pensioners and other people who were owed money got nothing. The country of Greece was, everybody talks about how it would be terrible for the EU to break up. They bankrupted Greece, and it's like Detroit. They're selling off public assets. And so this is what the investment bankers, what that class does for the world. They do nothing for us. But people don't get into office without them. But the system is collapsing, which is the cause of so many things around the world that seem to be disconnected and confusing. So that's why the Brexit vote wins. People vote for Trump, and I don't say that they were consciously aware of this, but anybody who sells himself as or herself as being new and different can get votes. And I think that's why Trump got enough votes and won the Electoral College and kept Hillary Clinton from winning. It's a response to the fact that, what does Tony Montero say? It's a crisis of legitimacy.
Right.
And so we have this system that does not work for us. Capitalism is in a state of failure. Unfortunately, it's not going to go quietly. So, you know, we don't know how we're all going to be hurt in this process as it disintegrates. But in this process, they will do more of this than ever before, peddle their influence all over the world with world leaders. So this is emblematic of so many things happening everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you see there's this pushback on a lot of fronts. You know, as the crisis extends into Europe, they're looking at a crisis of legitimacy now in France. That's really all you can say about the rise of Le Pen, is that's what she represents. She's seen as the outsider. Macron, who is an insider, had been able to peddle himself as an outsider in the first round, but now he's actually sliding some. So you've got that dynamic happening in some places, Europe, the Philippines, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pushback, we're looking at Venezuela, for example, where you can see they're really tightening the screws, trying to, you know, extract Maduro and the Bolivarian Revolution from power. Although, you know, they're not going into that gentle good night very quietly either. The whole planet really riddled with this, you know, it's in the middle of this battle. And I'm looking at, as capitalism goes away or crumbles, I'm hoping it doesn't take all of us with it, which some people seem hell-bent on doing.
Yes, yes. Well, I don't know, they'd rather take everybody with them than give up. But yes, in France, I wish I knew more about France so I could make a prediction. But I get predictions wrong about the U.S. I should probably stay out of other countries. But Macron is an investment banker. So their response to Le Pen, who is on the right, and I wish I knew more about her also, is to get the establishment guy in. And, you know, the EU is, it's unfortunate that people don't know how it really works, but the EU is, it's a money movement scheme, as I said before. It, you know, by breaking down the barriers, it's easier to move money around, and that could help people, but I don't believe it does. And then when they expanded into the former Soviet pact states, into the poorer, and took in some of the other poorer capitalist countries, that movement of money and of people is sending people in England and France on the race to the bottom. So that you have people from low-wage states that could be from Poland, or they could be from Slovakia, or they could be from Portugal or Greece, desperate to improve their lot. So they go to England, or they go to France, or they go to Germany. Their countries don't have to do anything for them. They just tell them, well, you know, if you want to make money, you better go wait tables in Paris or something. Right. Meanwhile, people in those countries are resentful because they can see where that is leading them. They're on the race to the bottom if you have this influx of low-wage people. So the reaction to that is, we don't need the EU. And they're not wrong. Unfortunately, we have been led to believe that the only opponents are all xenophobes, they're all racist, they're all fascists. And we haven't gotten any analysis of what's going on. So we were surprised by the Brexit vote. We were or surprised by Le Pen's success. So yes, this is part of that dynamic, but we'll see in another week or so. Actually, I can't remember the date. I may be getting it wrong, of the French election, how far this crisis of legitimacy has gone.
And, you know, looking at the situation here in the U.S. with the these hearings yesterday, was it yesterday or the other Wednesday or Tuesday this week, watching Comey get grilled, for example. It's frightening that people are buying so much of the McCarthyist stuff. I don't know. There really has still been no discussion of the real reasons that the Democrats lost that mm-hmm. whole election, other than something that includes at the center of it. I mean, Clinton herself. Well, yes. I lost it because it was my fault and Putin's and WikiLeaks and and Comey.
Well, she claimed I take full responsibility, but Russia.
But so Russia and Comey. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So she didn't really take responsibility, and she should do all of us and herself a failure a service by moving on and just owning her failure. Yes, it is very frightening that and it's the most frightening thing is that it unfortunately has been successful. And there are people who still blame Russia for the fact that Hillary Clinton did not campaign at all in Wisconsin, at all in Michigan. At the last moment, they got her to go to Grand Rapids the week before Election Day. But for months, she hadn't been there, ignored most of Pennsylvania. So unless Vladimir Putin gave her that advice, you can't blame him or Jill Stein. If, you know, if Jill said, "Nah, I don't go to Wisconsin, you got this," you know, you could blame her for it. But they offered people nothing. The bloom was off the rose with Obama. You know, when he won the second time, he won with fewer votes. So there were enough people waking up and realizing that this was a sham again, and the system had not changed at all. So, and then with this, you know, the Democrats, I'll call it corruption, where they couldn't even take the little bit of reform that Bernie Sanders was proposing. They weren't even smart enough to pretend and act like they were going to act on his proposals.
Right.
And they thought they could just slide in, just talk about how horrible Trump was, and they could slide in and win the presidency again. But instead, they're out altogether. And as I've said before, the response ought to be abandonment of the Democratic Party. But instead, people are all too willing to accept this plethora of propaganda against Russia, because it can't possibly be true that there were 60 million people who wanted to vote for Donald Trump. That can't be true. It has to be that the FBI disclosures about her emails did her in. It has to be WikiLeaks, which, excuse me, I think she called it Russian WikiLeaks or something. And it has to be Vladimir Putin, because he's the font of all evil in the world. So yes, this stuff continues to be peddled as we're all, you know, going down the tubes, and they're all rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. So we've come to this situation, where, because people cannot think outside of this box, because we've been told we don't have any choice but to follow these horrible Democrats, and I'm now referring to these horrible people, the Democratic Party. We're now at a point where they don't even know. They do know how to get votes. I think that's it. They know how to get their voters out, but they would have to do things that the Wall Street people don't want them to do. They could tell people, we're in favor of a $15 an hour minimum wage. They could say that. And that would, I believe, help them electorally if they said things like that. We will give you X, Y, and Z if you put the Democrats back in. But they don't want to disengage themselves from the Cantor Fitzgeralds,
right,
who give money to all of them. So they would actually rather lose than do what their supporters want them to do. I stand by that.
Hey, they would rather lose. Here we go again. Obama got a year's salary in the fourth month. Okay, so you know,
that's
in the first third of the year.
Only May.
Yeah, you know, so not a bad gig. You know, and I'm looking at magnitude of this. You know, this bluff, basically, instead of dealing with the realities, the political realities, as being akin to if Adlai Stevenson said in 1952, "Hey, I lost because J. Edgar Hoover conspired with Stalin to get Eisenhower elected." I mean, that's the magnitude of, you know, in the middle of whole McCarthyist frenzy that existed at that point in time. That's the magnitude of what we're, you know, the absurdity of what we're being told.
And what it does is it legitimizes the neocon, and Democrats are also neocons.
Yep.
It legitimizes the neocon attack on Russia. And the Russians have been completely otherized. And by that, I mean everything bad is Russia. Even on the New York Times, I saw someone's paper yesterday over the weekend. There was a story in the sports section, Russian hooligans, about Russian football,
right,
known as soccer to us, Russian football fans who follow their teams. And some of them are hooligans, but this is not new.
The
British football hooligans have been they're so horrible. Their fans can't even attend because of the violence they've created. But now Russian hooligans in huge letters.
Go tailgating in Jersey when the Giants, you know, outside Giants Stadium.
Yes. So you know, there's any number of ways that Putin has been demonized, Russia has been demonized, and all this does is make people ready for war and make people ready to do anything their government tells them against Russia. And the Democrats are, whatever catastrophe comes from this, the Democratic Party will largely be to blame.
Margaret Kimberly has a weekly column at blackagendareport.com under the banner Freedom Rider. We've been discussing her column this week, Obama Gets Paid. Margaret, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.